Here, the old gods are dead.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Hi, welcome back to the Creepy Wee podcast. My name is Rebecca.
Liam.
Did you like it?
I gasped. I've been doing it on my own for a year. Shocked.
I'm kind of shocked. I just felt like doing it there. I'm in a good mood today. Yeah, good mood. Why am I in a good mood? Because, well, actually, you start with your in.
My in. So my in this week is Julian. I gave up for a month and then my girlfriend ordered a vape and I was like,
well, be rude not to.
It would be, or rather, like, she started again, so I was like, well, there it goes. My out is my lung health and my gum health.
Oh, the gums. It really takes on the gums so immediately.
It's, yeah, so at least it's not like an Elf bar that I'm using, because they are rancid.
They're dirty.
Like, kids, if you're listening, please put the Elf bar down.
So that's so sad to hear. But, like, if it makes you happy, I guess.
It does make me happy. And also, like, considering the state of the world, like, caring about your lung health.
No, my granda died like 2008 or something, a long time ago. But he was like told to stop smoking, but you would find cigarettes everywhere. And it was very much like, he definitely was just like, why would I want to be alive if I'm not happy? Sort of thing.
My pop respect did that. My pop did that. They were like, so you have lung cancer? And he was like, right, I'm away by a 20 deck.
Marble right. Gold only from now on.
I'm just actual unfiltered cigarettes, thank you.
American miss spirit him. Tobacco.
I miss him. Why are you so cheery, Liam?
Well, first of all, I want to say my in. My okay. In is the Lisa Rinna M&M. I'm so
Well, to clue people in, what is the Lisa Rinna M&M?
Okay, so for some reason, there's a picture of Lisa Rinna from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, married to Harry Hamlin, who is definitely gay. But there's a picture of her, like, on a red carpet doing her little interview thing, but someone turned it into an M&M, like an orange M&M. And then there's this weird internet thing going on right now where people will make surprise Lisa Rinna M&M appearances, but to the song After Like by like IVE or some K-pop band. And I love it.
We're gonna have to share this, because it's not even like it's like a meme done by multiple people. It is one account.
One person
is just making this a meme, and they're doing a really good job. Like, David Lynchian kind of Lisa Rinna M&M videos.
No, the ones where it's like a full backstory, but like the plot devices that are employed, like, it was better than Nope. I'm not even kidding. Like, the one where she like disappears into the wormhole.
It really reminded me like Mulholland Drive.
For real.
We'll post these on Twitter and Instagram so you can find them.
Or at least Twitter. Just retweet them from the original source. Yeah. Credit to artists where it's due, you know.
Other than that, what else has gone on in your life?
Well, my out is university because I'm finally fucking done. I had my Viva today and I could not be happier. Like, I really enjoyed doing my project this year and I got, like, offered a very nice little job off of the back of it that is a like just a real big boy job for me. Is it sexy to say big boy job? I just say it in terms of like me.
When I spoke about getting my job, I was like, this is a big boy job.
And like they were like, how would you plan to manage your time? Is it like one of the interview questions? I was like, I was working two jobs and doing a master's degree. You cannot phase me at this point. You can't. Like a 5-day working week for me is like the dream. People are like, so reduce it to 4. And I'm like, as long as it's not 7, honestly, like, that's fine. I'm so tired and I'm sick. I always get sick after exam periods, but I'm fucking free. Worst experience of my fucking life.
I'm so happy. It feels like we've only like, well, we've known each other for years and years, but like when we met feels like literally 6 years ago. Of course it isn't, but I feel like you've been in the shackles of university for a very long time.
Like Sia in Beyonce's basement. Like, that's how I felt. Do you remember that?
You're Jack Antonoff in Lana Del Rey's basement.
Yeah, I just feel energetic, but also like I could sleep for like the next month. I handed in my notice to my old job, however. And then yesterday they were like, oh, can you work? Like, and it's so hard to motivate yourself to work a notice period when you have another job lined up because you don't need the reference. And I'll never need the reference because it doesn't apply to the field I work in. They just want to ask, like,
you want the holiday, by the way.
Exactly. And also, I just feel bad for the people I work with if I don't go in. But, like, they then asked me to work tomorrow as well. And I was like, it's hard enough to work the, like, however many shifts I have left. And I want to add more. I literally went, when she asked, I went, and then she was like, should I take that as a no? And I was like, well, you shouldn't take it as a resounding yes. Like, I did not want to be here.
Fucking retail and hospitality managers are just like chancers.
Yeah.
But it worst thing they could say is no. But like, if you do say no, they'll like be like, but we're a family. think of the children.
Family. But, yeah, it could be worse. Like, I once had a manager who, whenever someone like handed in their resignation to get a job that paid more than $4.50 an hour, she would be like, she would act betrayed and be like, what, this isn't good enough for you? And it's like, babe, you can't even buy a pack of Smarties on an hour's wage. Like, what do you mean? I just think that people under 18 should be paid the same for doing the same job. Like, I don't understand why they get paid less.
I can't remember how much I got paid when I first started working in McDonald's because I think I've trauma blocked it. Like, I think it was $4.70, $4.50. It might have just been £4. I'm not sure because I started working there when I was like 16 or 17. And then I got promoted to be a crew trainer and the wage jump was so embarrassing that the people who I was training, I couldn't tell them how much I was making.
Why?
Because like just to be like a one position above in the restaurant that I worked in, there was such a gap and it was a bit unfair. Like, even though I was training them.
Because they can't keep you on like an under 18's wage if you're training people.
Yeah, so it was like an 18-year-old's wage and it was obviously like a more senior position, but like it just felt like it was shameful. I was like, we're all doing the same thing most of the time up here for like once a week I train.
Yeah, you were the pigs in Animal Farm.
That's what it felt like. I was like, I'm not speaking on this.
I read books.
Anyway, that was...
Who did you send to the glue factory?
I have nightmares that I work there constantly, that I'm still in that job. I had one last night. I was just telling my dad about this. And it's not even like it's like a proper nightmare or even a dream. Like, nothing weird or like bad happens. I'm just doing a shift. So like I go to sleep and then I go to work and I feel robbed in my sleep.
No,
like last night I just dreamt that I was like in a drive-thru being like, hiya, what can I get you?
The bit in American Horror Story Apocalypse where Madison's working in retail.
That is what it was like. That is my hell.
Well, back to retail. You.
Speaking of hell on earth, I've got a news story for Edinburgh that took place at the end of August.
Was it the bins?
No, it's not about the bins. It isn't even fringe related, although I feel like the person, the perpetrator of this crime might have been visiting Edinburgh during the fringe.
Okay, so reliable source.
The headline is, rare Edinburgh headstone stolen from historic graveyard as police hunt US tourist.
Why would they steal it?
A historic Edinburgh graveyard has been targeted by a thief who stole a rare and irreplaceable marble headstone. The incident took place at Greyfriars Kirk on Candlemaker Row on August 21st. If you look at the images, if you just put in Greyfriars Kirk into Google and then press like news, the images will come up. They've took like a whole slab
of gravestone. Marble.
They've just pulled it and took it away.
How could one person have done that? It says American tourist. That was like 20 people.
Like, they were looking for, it's like a ginger woman with an American accent, which could just be something for Edinburgh. So the stone dating back hundreds of years was taken from the graveyard in the city centre, believed to have been the inspiration for some of the J.K. Rowling's Harry Potter, blah, blah, blah. Ken, how she like named people. Police Sergeant Charlotte Crerar said, "We are appealing for information following the vandalism and theft of our marble-facing stone headstone. We are keen to trace a woman who has been seen in the area. She is described as being around 5'6" tall with red ginger hair and a slim build."
The way it was just J.K. Rowling.
She spoke with an American accent.
Tilda Swinton doing a character study, I
hear. But like, folk were like, so obviously people were like tweeting about this. It is really horrible. Like, she's defaced a grave. Folk were alluding to the fact that like it might be like one of her ancestors or something like that, and she just took it because it wasn't actually one of the Harry Potter graves like that J.K. Rowling used to name a character in Harry Potter. But it was like fixed onto a mausoleum and she's ripped it down, or on a wall of some sort, and she's ripped it down and took it. But if she was an American tourist visiting,
what was she expecting to do with it?
How did she get that out of Edinburgh Airport? She would have to declare that.
Yeah.
Like, you surely the people at the airport would definitely be like, that's a gravestone.
Nah, definitely Ryanair flight. No one questioned anything.
They'd be like, sorry, that doesn't fit in the underseat storage. You're going to have to put that in the bin.
But, like, how?
So if any listeners have been in, were in Edinburgh on August 21st and like maybe...
Was it you? Do you have any...
Was it you? Like, let us know. But that's what I used in place of a listener story the day, because I found that obviously it's horrific defacing a grave.
But it's a little bit funny.
But it is a little bit funny that she managed to like go in with like a big sack on her bag and be like, like steal a grave.
How did no one know it? Like,
Greyfriars Kirk is relatively busy, like most of the time, especially in August. Like, how did nobody stop her? Like, if I seen somebody do that, I would throw hands.
Or at least be like, what are you doing?
Like... She's like, I'm the Mackenzie Poltergeist.
I'm the ghost of Mary, Queen of Scots.
Oh my God, what about Mary, Queen of Scots being on the shortbread Wikipedia? So I was at work on my break just eating some shortbread, and I was like, we kind of like went off. Scotland went off when we made shortbread. So like I went onto the Wikipedia and they were like, I'm actually going to have to get this up. It's so dumb. It's so stupid. Again, we've spoken about this many times, how Mary Queen of Scots is attributed to like every single story in Scottish history or any place in Scotland has something to say.
Like the Einstein quote of Scottish history, like every the quote being attributed to Einstein.
Marla Monroe.
Yeah, literally.
Shortbread originated in Scotland. Although it was prepared during much of the 12th century and probably benefited from cultural exchange with French pastry chefs during the Old Alliance, or Old Alliance, between France and Scotland, the refinement of shortbread is popularly credited to Mary Queen of Scots. And then further on in the article it says, not much is known about Mary Queen of Scots' baking skills. And it's like, of course she didn't have any baking skills. Like, yes, she could sew, and she was very intelligent because she was like a educated lady. She had to be.
She could read the recipe, that's it. Like, it was fine on its own. Why did you need to put Mary Queen of Scots on that?
I'm just surprised that, like, nothing's there about, like, Burns Night or anything like that. It's just like, oh, here's your chance to link. I think it's because if you're in a Wikipedia page and you link to like quite a popular page, it kind of like boosts. Well, that's how web pages work. Kind of like boosts the clickability, yeah, the shortbread page. Like maybe it wasn't busy enough, so they were like, we need to.
We need to lie.
Me when I'm doing an episode, honestly.
You when you're posting about aliens on the Instagram.
If any is Denny Folios on Instagram, I was caught lying. Well, not lying, just being stupid on main.
Being wrong. She was just wrong. Wasn't lying, she was just incorrect.
I posted a 3D render in the UFO and I was like, yeah, this is legit. Everyone, like, go and look at it. And then the next post, I'm like, if you've seen our last post, no, you didn't. And like, it, the original post got like 130 likes, and folk were like, oh, is this real? And I was like, yeah. I just used the first picture I seen on Google.
No, and you were arguing with someone's mom.
I know. Embarrassed.
Catch hands.
She was like, that's a lot of snow in the background of that picture, considering you're saying it was August. And I was like, eh, it's the Highlands, like, it's the Cairngorms, like, NBD, I've seen snow in summer.
And then she was like, where's the heather?
And I was like, ooh. I was like, yeah, I'm gonna. And then I went to Google and I was like, oh, fuck. Still, the original, the real picture of the UFO is very accurate. If you want to see it, you can go to her Instagram. You can see how embarrassed I was in the second
post.
Kept
the original post up, though, because it was making moves, so.
Clout is clout, like.
All publicity is good publicity.
Speaking of me doing bad research, the episode that we're doing today is going to be me making amends for an article that I wrote when I was just doing some like fun pseudo journalism like 2 years ago on something called the Creepy Wee WordPress, which only has one article on it, which is this story that I'm going to be telling. But
it's completely falsified.
Yeah, completely falsified, and I've kind of tried to dig myself out of that right now. Not that anybody ever read it, but it was like, it's the Creepy Wee podcast before there ever was a podcast, as I was going to start doing this WordPress and stuff, and never did it again. Thank God, to be honest. But we'll take a wee break, and then I'll come back and I'll tell this story.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This story is one of Scotland's like unexplained mysteries that has like a lot of hype around it. It's attached to Aleister Crowley. Some people compare it to like the Elisa Lam case. You know that one where the woman was like in that lift and then she was being all weird in the lift and then she ended up being like, she went missing and they found her in like a water tank in the Cecil Hotel.
Was she alive?
No, she was dead.
Sorry. I didn't know, like, I've never heard of Elisa Lam.
Elisa Lam. Eliza Lam. I don't know. It's quite like a famous like Reddit unexplained mysteries kind of thing. But this, I think she was just like a mentally ill woman who ended up dying. But everybody's like, oh, she was like possessed and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But this, some people draw comparisons between the story that I'm going to tell today and the Elisa Lam case.
Who was first?
So this is this one. This one took place in like the 20s, and then the Eliza Lam case took place in like the 2010s at some point. This is the story of the strange death in Netta Fornario. On November 19th, 1929, the Isle of Iona could have passed for a scene for The Wicker Man. Police had just found the body of Netta Fornario. She lay naked, exposed to the elements with holes in the earth surrounding her. Iona is a small island in the Inner Hebrides, and it's often referred to as the cradle of Christianity due to its links to St. Columba. In 563, the Irish monk introduced the religion of Christianity to the Scots of the Gaelic Kingdom that encompassed the western seaboard of Scotland.
Oh, we slandered him before.
Good and we'll do it again. I'm joking, I've actually nothing bad to say about him this time. The island's oldest surviving structure is a chapel named after St. Oran, who, according to legend, was buried alive in a sacrifice to prevent the walls of the church falling down. So, a spooky place.
Yeah.
It became a burial ground in the 11th century, and in 1549, inventory holds the graves of 48 Scottish, 8 Norwegian, and 4 Irish kings. There's also a large fairy mound on the isle called Sheehan Moor. It's been the scene for many Christian and pagan rituals on Iona, and tradition claims that if you're to disturb the earth on a fairy mound,
you'll catch hands.
Yeah, you'll catch fae hands, basically. Like, very, very bad luck.
Spiritual hands.
Due to its links with paganism and spiritualism and the fae, folklorists believe that the entire island is a place where spiritual activity is strong and the veil between our world and the fae world is very thin.
Falkirk Triangle to Electric Boogaloo.
So it's no wonder that an occultist like Netta Fornario would be drawn to such a place. Netta was born Mary Emily Fornario, and she went by Netta in her later life. So it's her chosen name, so I'll go for that. She was born in Cairo in 1897 to an English mother and an Italian father. Netta's mother died in the year following her birth, and her dad abandoned her and placed her in the care of her maternal grandparents in London. When she was still quite young, her grandparents both passed away, and she was sent off to boarding school. So she spends most of her youth in boarding schools outside of London and went on to attend Ladies' College, where she received a proper education. Upon receiving her inheritance when she turned 18, she spent her 20s in Italy as a citizen and then returned to London in 1922. When she returns to London, esotericism and spiritualism had increased in popularity since the mid-18th century in Western Europe, and many occult groups and secret societies had formed, boasting members that were amongst the wealthiest and most educated in society.
Freemasons.
Yes. I also, I think I mentioned this in episode one, so Aleister Crowley was a member and then a leader of a group called the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn.
And the sisterhood of the traveling pants.
And he was like amongst company like Bram Stoker. And like, this is like a rich people bag, like all these secret societies and stuff. Kind of like, it's almost as if stuff like this still goes on.
Not even to dinner with the Kushners.
And also during this period of time, Arthur Conan Doyle, the writer of the Sherlock Holmes series, him and his wife were amongst the most prolific spiritualists. So they would have like seances and stuff and try and Yeah, you would think
the renaissance of that right now. People love rocks and stuff.
Yeah, I was listening to a podcast episode this week that was titled "So Sad You Believe in Crystals." Being so sad you believe in crystals, and I was like, oh.
I mean, they're pretty, like, that's enough.
Me when something bad's happening, I'm like, What?
Where's the amethyst?
Is Mercury in retrograde right now? Weigh her or money and her position in society, Netta quickly became drawn to the supernatural, likely because of the social circles that she was moving in. They were probably like on opium to like, let's not like beat her in the bush, like taking laudanum or smoking laudanum, whatever the fuck he did, and then like drinking absinthe. So like
so they were like, they were seeing shit. They could see hell. They saw the face of God for real.
She becomes a member of Alpha A Omega, which was a successor to the notorious Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, and the group's practices were rooted in the occult, metaphysics, and the paranormal. Much like this podcast, actually.
Good for them rebranding, though, because the Hermetic Order of the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants is a lot to say. So Alpha A Omega is, that's easier. Crowley et al, that's what they should be called.
Even he left and like made like another esoteric group that I think it just had like one word as the title. I can't remember though. It's right, hard to following practices similar to their predecessors, members dedicated themselves to practicing trances and rituals based in meditation that could last for days in order to understand oneself and one's condition. It's Crowley shit, like, starve yourself for days, meditate for days, in hopes you're seeing some shit. They would call it a vision, I would call it a hallucination.
A mirage. Every Real Housewife of Beverly Hills could do this. All of them. Easily in their sleep.
Trad like wives like to do yoga.
And like do spiritual meditation. Like, you know. For real.
The Real Housewives of Alpha Omega. So Netta becomes obsessed with the Fae when she was reading folklore and studying the works of Scottish artist John Duncan. Look him up. He does like a lot of artwork that's centered around Scottish and Arthurian legends as well as mythology and history. He has a really good painting. His last painting, I think, was a Mary Queen of Scots, and it's in St. Andrew's Uni now. It's a very nice painting. It is a very nice painting. She looks very somber. Like, I think it's like meant to be like her before her final days, basically. Yeah. She becomes obsessed with the Fae, and the idea of visiting the fairy realm using astral travel and spells becomes like her hyperfixation. It's assumed that she was drawn to Iona because of its connections to Druidism and paganism and energy that she could utilize in her own rituals. So she packs her bags and moves through London to Iona. It is meant to be a brief trip. She takes her maid, but upon arriving is like, right, beat it, go back to London. And she brought like a desk, several other pieces of furniture and loads of clothes. So it's like she very much intended to stay there for an extended period of time, and her maid gets there and is like, what? Like, like, why am I not getting this time? She arrives on the island and she finds a room to rent on a farm with the Cameron family. It's sometimes quoted as being that she just stays with one spooky woman called Mrs. McCrae, but I think that's wrong. That is the one that I used in my original article. But
it sounds better, to be fair.
Many of the island's summer visitors had already left as autumn was drawing closer, but given the amount of furniture that she had brought, she's obviously intending to stay there for an extended period of time. The healing ritual that Netta had come to Iona to conduct is similar to the purification rituals that Alistair Crowley had introduced to the Golden Dawn. Purification is a rigorous process, which would explain why Netta intended to stay for so long. If you remember episode one, I think it's similar to some of the things that Alistair Crowley is conducting on the banks of Loch Ness in Bleskin House. Just my theory, though, with these groups, these esoterical groups, like, it's not just like you do one spell or you do one meditation. It's like you're there and conducting it for weeks.
Yeah.
And you're not for, like, weeks. So Crowley noted that purification could be achieved through strenuous efforts such as fasting, sexual abstinence, and keeping the body meticulously tidy and undergoing a series of chants and prayers. Crowley was known for his comprehensively symbolic rituals, and this differentiated his practices from his contemporaries. He recommended bathing and robing as part of purification. Quote, "The bath signifies the removal of all things extraneous and agnostic to the one fought. The putting on of a robe is the positive side of the same operation." Lot of words.
Yeah.
Sentiments and words.
And now we just call it self-care. You go for a bath, you shave your legs, and you go into clean sheets. Like, Fiat 500 is on that Crowley ship. Like,
I am also. Like, if I ever feel horrible, I, like, mentally, I'm like, if I take a bath, it'll sort of...
Yeah, he's kind of onto something with that.
He's like, bath and clean jammies.
He's the first influencer.
Netta dresses quite extravagantly. She has like loads of silver jewellery on. She has loads of crazy clothes and robes and stuff. And obviously her Mediterranean features stand out as well compared to the locals on Iona. She looks almost alien. Although it should be said that she did get on with the family that she was staying with. They made a lot of time for her, even though she was like, exactly, what they would consider nuts. Like... kind of like she would be like walking around like mumbling to herself, and she would openly tell them about the like rituals and stuff that she was conducting. She also like kept diaries and stuff. This so is, everybody was pretty like familiar with what she was doing.
Reminds me of me. Like, this is what it's like when I go into work and someone's like, how are you? And then I like, they're like, oh, okay.
Last night I actually traveled. Like, let me tell you a bit. Let me dump that on you right now.
And they're like, I was looking for the word fine, but...
She's almost alien to the local villagers, and her periods of fasting and time spent on the moors in deep trances only intensified this kind of like the weirdness that everybody thought she had. Like, they were like, she's a bit weirdo.
She's kooky.
But Mrs. Cameron reported that Netta had instructed her to never seek a doctor, no matter how long she seemed to be in a trance. The Camerons had become accustomed to Netta's eccentric behaviour, and they described to investigators that on Sunday, November 12th, her lodger's behaviour had become paranoid and anxious. Netta described to the Camerons hallucinations including a mastless ship flying over the skies of Iona. And shortly after this, she becomes very, very panicked. And she's like packing all her belongings into suitcases and stuff. And she's like, I need to fucking leave. And they were like, it's a Sunday, there's no boats. And she was like, fuck. And then she like comes back like later that evening and she's calmed and she's changed her mind about leaving the island entirely. I would like to say a mastless ship flying through the skies.
Aliens.
That's what I'm thinking. This thing is in all of the sources, the correct sources. The mastless ship thing did actually happen. In other sources, they talk about blue lights out of the skies at Iona. Can I corroborate that? But the mastless ship seems to be consistent. Like that one's, yeah, consistent. So UFO, mayhaps. She calms down, and that evening she left for a walk. And this is pretty normal for her. But it does happen to be the last time anybody saw her alive.
Oh.
Seeing that night is closing in, the Camerons search the immediate area around their farm before alerting police. A search party was banded together, but it was dark, so they agreed to continue the search in the morning. It takes to the following afternoon for two local men to find Netta's body. Must note, Iona is like a mile in length and then 3 miles in the other direction. Like, it's not a very big place.
Yeah.
But you see this like on like theories of people being like, Iona's a tiny island. Why did it take them 2 days to find her? It took them a day and a half. But they couldn't, like, it's November on Iona. Like, they can't, like, it's 1929. Nobody's got like, there's no like lampposts or anything like that. Like,
so they could only do it in daylight hours, which were short.
Like... Aye, so they find her what I would consider relatively fast. So she's found in a field and she's naked, and as I described earlier, holes had been dug into the earth surrounding her body. I'm unsure if they were dug with her hands.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just wee pocket holes in the earth, like around her, just like really erratically. Her death certificate states that she had died from natural causes as the result of exposure to the elements. The fact that she's naked is attributed to ritual quite often, but yeah. If one has gone through hypothermia, psychosis kicks in and you start to think you're really hot and you strip off all your clothes. There's no note here about where her clothes actually were. She did leave the house wearing clothes because the Camerons saw her leave. If she's ripped off like what little clothing she had, because the Camerons did note that she didn't intend to go out for a long period of time because she was only wearing like light clothing. My guess is that it blew away.
Yeah.
And like maybe like went into the sea or into some wooded areas or something. It just wasn't found.
I didn't know that about hypothermia.
It's, can I, do you know the...
Is it like when you touch snow and you think your hands are really hot?
It takes a long time for it to set in with hypothermia. Like, have you ever heard of the Dilatov Pass incident?
No.
It's like a group of Russian hikers went on like a wee expedition.
Oh, yes.
And there was like
I have heard of it.
they got found in an unusual circumstance because they had all ran away for their camp and they had all been wearing clothing, but they like started to take it off, and that's what happens with hypothermia, is that you start to feel like really, really hot and really, really panicky. So some people strip their clothes off. Without anybody to collect her body, the people of Iona raised money for a proper burial for Netta, and she was interred in the same gravesite as the kings of Scotland, Ireland, and Norway. She's got a wee. And I thought that was really nice of them to do that.
That is cute, actually.
No, as unusual as the story is in terms of the 1920s in Scotland, why are people so hung up on this story? In the days following her death, the Scotsman published a sensational article and people took it as fact. People, including me. So the Scotsman stated that Netta had been naked apart from a long black cloak, which had symbols sewn into the seams, and that instead of laying upon a series of holes, Netta's body lay upon a cross that had been hacked into the earth, made by a knife which was firmly grasped in her cold, dead hands.
Oh, that sounds a lot cooler. Like, that sounds a lot more clicky, you know?
They also claimed that the paranoia that Netta experienced in the days leading up to her death were due to a cloaked man who was seen wandering around the island, who were ultimately was her murderer. Can you guess who any theories on who the cloaked
Mary
man might be?
Ray Fires Bobby.
Yeah, people are like, this must have been Aleister Crowley.
They were having a debate.
Like, Aleister Crowley was probably kicked out of the UK at this point. Like, yeah. So people say this is Aleister Crowley, which is pretty much bullshit. People like to say that he's the most evil man on earth. Not true.
Complicated bottom.
Evil. Yeah. No.
Demon twink? Yes.
Other sources do say that she was found on the fairy mound at Sheehan Moor. If she was found on Sheehan Moor and she had damaged the earth, who's not to say that she was spirited away to the fae realm?
Imagine.
Or if she was out there conducting her healing ritual, maybe Netta had let go of everything material that tied her to the physical world and left nothing behind but a purified soul. As I say, it's always been an interesting story to people because it's linked to the occult, and I think it'll continue to be like that for the next however long, like how podcasts like this or people on YouTube and Reddit and stuff like theorizing about what this could have happened to this woman. Like, was it spiritual? Was it madness? And I think I don't want to like posthumously diagnose somebody with like mental health issues, but like it does seem like this woman, her mother died when she was really young, she was abandoned by her father, her two carers died, and then she was left at the wills of society and was like caught up in like these esoterical things were like pretty mad. Like,
yeah,
it wouldn't be too much of a jump to say if she was somebody with like a nervous disposition and was taken away by all this hype and all this stuff that maybe she just had like some sort of mental break and just succumbed to the elements. She did speak to the Camerons before she left, and she seemed quite normal, but they were pretty used to her being like dazed and like meditating all the time and just constantly in trances and stuff. And like, as somebody who's like dissociated like quite frequently in the past, like when you're in the throes of like a proper mental spiral, like it can be like that, and you're not in control of like what you're doing or where you go. Like, if you go on a walk and you're like that, you can walk for a while on autopilot.
Yeah,
probably got dark and she's got turned around. So they think there's anything spiritual about it, although I do think she was there for spiritual reasons. I can see why people would like to sensationalize this. I did the first time I ever heard about it. I like ran with that Scotsman article because it sounded so interesting.
Yeah,
but like in hindsight,
Lies and deceit.
Yeah. And another story about another poor mentally ill woman that people will continue to talk about forever, just kind of like Elisa Lam.
I mean, at least she's like remembered forever. That's kind of like the impact you want in your life.
True. She's also resting in a place that she was deeply fascinated by.
Yeah.
And she's also buried
with kings.
Amongst kings, amongst royalty. It's a bit of a downer, but I think if she wanted to go in any way, she was at least somewhere that she liked and maybe loved, and she got a nice burial by the people of Iona. The people of Iona, nice. In some articles and theories, like some people are like, oh, like she was part of a ritual today with like the people in Iona. The people in Iona in 1929 are pretty fucking normal. Like, it's not like the Wicker Man.
Midsummer ritual.
Especially like rags in London like seem to think that like the Scottish Highlands is very much like the Wicker Man.
They still think that, like, to this day.
Yeah, they still think that.
I'm like, so, have you ever been to Inverness?
Like that, that is like the theories, but like Iona is like deeply spiritual, very beautiful, but like to say that it's like the Wicker Man, like take a day off. I beg, like people on Reddit take a day off. But that's the unusual death in Netta Fornario. If she was there to complete her like ritual that she had got on, well, I really hope that she did it. I really hope that she achieved it. Anyway, on that somber note, if you want to check out any memes today with this episode or any updates and posts and stuff, you can find us on Instagram at the Creepy Wee Podcast, TikTok is the same, Twitter at the Creepy Wee Pod. And if you want to buy your merch, you can find it at thecreepyweepodcast.co.uk. Bye.
What's after the do, 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 do.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.